Hey learners, welcome back to another episode in our Learning Life local season where we're focused on Vermont entrepreneurs. Today we have a special guest with us, Michael Lee. Michael's an entrepreneur right here in Burlington, Vermont, who's built up a number of software as a service businesses right here in Burlington, scaling up his employees, finding great opportunities nationwide, and raising money right here in Burlington to grow his businesses. It's something that we can really dig into, learn a lot from Michael's experience. He's a great entrepreneur with a great story. So let's enjoy another Learning Life local episode here in Vermont.
Don't hide your idea. Don't be scared about somebody stealing your idea. That doesn't exist anymore. Ideas are a dime a dozen. It's all about execution. So whatever idea you have, go and share it and sell that idea.
Welcome to Learning Life.
And the thing that I've realized from the CEO to the NFL football player to the janitor, we're our toughest critics and we're hardest on ourselves.
But you have to be willing to say and point out the things that need to be said.
The only way to grab somebody's attention is with a story.
Welcome to another episode of Learning Life with John Toda. My guest today is Michael Lee. Michael is the founder and CEO of Reconciled, a virtual bookkeeping service for entrepreneurs, co-founder of Humanly, on-demand HR for entrepreneurs, and co-founder and CEO of Sassable, a financial reporting application to provide easy visibility and analysis into recurring revenue streams. Essentially, Michael's been focused on creating a suite of services through these separate businesses to give entrepreneurs a clearer picture into the financial management of their businesses. Michael's a local Burlington, Vermont entrepreneur who's built an impressive group of products and services to meet the financial and operational needs of a business. He's also a speaker and coach to entrepreneurs on how to scale their businesses remotely. So I'm very excited to have Michael with us today. Michael Lee, welcome to Learning Life.
Thanks for having me, John.
You have focused so much of your career on helping entrepreneurs just understand the way their businesses make money, spend money, and operate. Why was that your passion? How did you get into that? Because I think you started as a part-time CFO. What was your journey like to get to this point where you've been creating all these companies?
You know, my quick backstory is my parents were refugees from Cambodia, and they came over in 1981 in the early 80s to Tempe, Arizona, where I was born and raised. And my parents were entrepreneurs. They came with nothing and had to build something out of their life. And so they raised me and my two siblings. So we watched them do that and learned indirectly from them. So I think in my blood, I always kind of watched in our family, how do you create things out of nothing and how do you go sell services or products for money and build wealth? When I was 16 years old, I got my first accounting job. It was at a company that I had been interning in the summers for. My brother-in-law was the accountant there, and they taught me how to do his job. He had taught me how to do his job, and so eventually when he left, they gave me his job. So actually, it was my first accounting job was right in the later years of high school. So I kind of blended both my accounting experience as well as my kind of passion for entrepreneurship together, and that kind of began my journey of being excited about working with entrepreneurs and with small businesses.
And so now tell me first, we'll focus, and actually really interesting story for all of our listeners. Our very first office in Burlington in Karma Birdhouse, when we took it, I think it was maybe 3 years ago, was your previous office. I think you guys were in there, you had moved out, and we were the next tenant in there.
Yeah. We had been in there since the beginning. I had gotten an office there in 2012. 2013, really early on when Karma Birdhouse had opened, and I was on the third floor, and then launched Reconciled later in 2015, so a little over 5 years ago, and stayed there for another few years before moving to our current, my current office location in downtown Burlington in 2017. So yeah, love the Karma Birdhouse, love the culture there, miss it every day and what they've built, but it was able to launch, and I think the Karma Birdhouse is a place where a lot of different people in Burlington launch their company. And once they get to a certain size, are able to move out and find more kind of permanent space for themselves. But it's a great culture there.
Yeah. Likewise. I felt the same way. I was obviously just dipping my toe in the waters here coming from New York. And it was great. I loved the culture. It was super cool there. But same thing. We moved around the corner to get our own space on Battery Street. But good vibes out of that little, I can't remember. It was like number 237 or something was our officer. I forget. But so cool. We never got to meet. Obviously, you left and we came in. And then we started talking, in the past year. But I just love your story, too, because you're building really innovative businesses, meeting your customers' needs in unique ways. And you're doing it all from Burlington, which I love. Tell us a little bit about Reconcile, because now you've got the three businesses, I think, that you're passionate about. Tell me how they fit together, because it seems like you kind of created a suite of businesses to help entrepreneurs across the board.
Yeah. So, you know, if we first started off with Reconciled, obviously, the late summer 2015, we launched. And really, we started with the core accounting service, right? Every small business, every startup has this need for their core accounting function to be taken care of. And it's honestly one of the biggest pain points for most entrepreneurs is taking the care of their finances and tracking where everything goes. And so I launched Reconciled in order to solve that, and it quickly started growing. But as we started working with more and more entrepreneurs and small businesses across the country, the number one question outside of accounting that would come up that was a pain point for our customers was around HR. And obviously, as an accounting firm, we weren't prepared to provide them that kind of service, and the people that I hired aren't specialists in HR. So I met with my co-founder, Laura Pillsbury, who has an HR background, HR expert. She's out of New Hampshire, and we decided to launch Humanly together and really would leverage her HR expertise to build the same kind of platform that Reconciled has, but we would do it for HR services. So we're doing a lot of cross-selling between the two companies. They're both different, separate companies completely, but one side's focused on the full back office accounting and the other side's focused on HR. And then the idea for Sazable came out because of my experience working with recurring revenue companies in particular. All of the accounting platforms and back office services that we provide at Reconciled really are tailored towards most companies who are looking at traditional metrics like the income statement, the balance sheet, and other traditional financial metrics that most small businesses have. Well, when you get to the recurring revenue space, you're talking about metrics like MRR, monthly recurring revenue, ARR, CAC, LTV, churn rates. These are unique to recurring revenue companies, and accounting software is not built to measure these metrics. And so I set out to create a way for those metrics to be measured in a faster and more easier way than using Google Sheets or Excel. And that's where Sazable was born. So late last year in 2019, we went out and raised a small pre-seed round from local investors here in Vermont, and then launched version one of the product earlier this summer, and then got accepted in the QuickBooks Online store just a couple months ago. So it's been a really good journey with Sazable, and there's a lot of long-term opportunities that we think are on the horizon for Sazable as well.
Congrats on that. You know, and I know, as you know, I built up a subscription software business, and we recently sold it and had to go through practically a year's worth of due diligence. And getting a handle on the MRR and really knowing what our subscription business looked like, all the different ways they wanted to see it, we just didn't have access to those numbers. It was so much effort. So totally get what you built there, because you look at QuickBooks and you're right. There's no easy way to really see that kind of stuff in QuickBooks. It's your only option is to dump it into a spreadsheet unless you're using some business intelligence tool like you guys built, right?
Correct. Right. That's exactly why we built it. And, you know, oftentimes, like you said, you're not really looking at the details of this until you go for a sale or an investment or something. And the reality is more and more of these types of companies, recurring revenue business models, they're popping up into almost every industry. My co-founder and I for Sazable, we joke about how we know a ramen noodle shop in New York that's selling subscription ramen noodle services, right? So you can you pay a certain subscription fee to eat as much ramen as you want, depending on how many weeks or months you want to go. So we're seeing this invade almost every industry, traditional industries. Reconcile, my accounting firm, it's on a recurring revenue model as well. And so we had to measure things. So as an accounting firm, we went, wow, the current accounting tools that we even use for customers can't measure these things. And why can't we get this data in real time without having to manipulate spreadsheets or wait till a large event or have to spend hundreds of thousands of dollars on a very expensive BI tool to get insights into this? So hence, that's where Sazable is trying to play.
Yeah, I love it, because you're totally right in it. And I love how you guys have adapted and pivoted to where the market's going, because almost everyone's trying to build a subscription model, even brick and mortar at services businesses. Everybody's trying to have that component, and there's no easy way to track it. So very cool to see that. And I think another interesting aspect of your story is that you're doing all of this in our small town of Burlington, Vermont. And I know a lot of people struggle with the challenge of being in a smaller city. I like to refer to Burlington and other cities like ours as mid-major cities. We're a little bit off the radar for a lot of big customers, top-end talent, investors, and you're doing it across all those avenues, finding great talent, raising money, and doing business all over the world, What are some of the challenges that you've run into? What are some experience that you could share for other people trying to get their business up and running in all those ways and getting access to investment money in a small town like Burlington, Vermont?
Yeah, so I think a lot of it in regards to kind of reaching out and connecting with people is because I've lived in three different states, right? Three corners of the country, first Arizona, then Washington, and now Vermont. I've got a network of people throughout the country that I've connected with. And I, you know, part of my ethos as an entrepreneur and as a person is that I love connecting with new people. I love connecting with travelers, vagabonds, people from all sorts of cultures, backgrounds, faiths, politics, you name it. I love it. And especially if I can connect with people who don't think like me or opposite of me. And so with that in mind, when I came to Vermont, if you've ever lived here, it's like no other place in the country even. It's such a unique place. And I would call almost like a bubble, an isolated bubble. And I'd like to remind, you know, entrepreneurs I meet here in Vermont to not expect to be able to scale or grow just by your contacts here. There is no way you're going to build a scalable business by only solely relying only on resources here. You're going to have to do recruiting. Well, there's not enough people in Vermont and not enough talent for you to only solely recruit talent in Vermont. You're going to have to convince and cast vision to get people to either move here or work for you remotely. Investment money. There is investment money here, but it's a limited amount, right? It doesn't scale compared to Boston, New York City, the Silicon Valley. So you're going to have to reach out to your network of people. And thankfully, we have tools like LinkedIn and email and other tools that we can do that and get our brand names out there. And then if you're in a specific industry like accounting, accounting's worldwide, and accounting has a huge national industry in the United States. So I did, you know, early on with Reconciled, I quickly connected with the other peers in my industry that were running similar types of firms. And I would call them friendly competitors, you know, and there was nothing wrong with, and I encourage everybody to connect with your friendly competitors, especially if you're in a market that has unlimited potential like online accounting. So I did a lot of connections at conferences and with groups, mentoring groups and Slack groups. And that's how I'm able to stay connected. And I've made some really close friends through that in my industry. And I'm doing that with the other industries that my other businesses serve in. So that's been really, really helpful for me and given us exposure in markets that we didn't know existed for us or know that was a possibility or thought about. You know, for example, our national expansion, we just closed on an acquisition for Reconciled yesterday that we announced publicly. We acquired a firm called Bean Team out of Tallahassee, Florida. I had never been to Tallahassee, Florida, right? I knew nothing about it until I ran across this potential acquisition. So, you know, my encouragement to everybody, your listeners, whether you're local or global, if you can build a business and build several businesses like I have from Burlington, Vermont, of all places, one of the farthest north places you can go, you can build it from anywhere. And it doesn't matter how small or big, there is an advantage to where you are located that you can take advantage of to your advantage and use it to leverage yourself into a national brand. And there's probably story after story we could tell about different companies that have done that throughout the country. You know, a well-known brand like Walmart, where they're in this small town in the state they were founded that before them, like no one would have known about. And now they're the reason why that town is known. And so when you go hear about the Walmart story and the Waltons, like it's a crazy story. But there's so many stories like that where somebody in a small town or somebody in a not a big city in a, like you said, a class B market or a growing market is able to leverage their strengths from that area and the brand. So we definitely leverage Vermont, Burlington, and our values here in order to build a national brand.
Yeah, I think it's great advice for anyone, especially nowadays, because you can start your business anywhere, like you said, and why not do it in a place like Burlington where, you know, we know it's a great place to live. Quality life is awesome, but there are those challenges of scaling your workforce, finding the right people. So I know one of the topics you talk about a lot, and it's right on, you know, on this line is scaling your business with a remote workforce, because you've done that very successfully with your businesses, and it's kind of a necessary evil going down this remote channel if you're going to try and build a business in one of these smaller cities that might be further away from the big hubs. What do you often tell people, entrepreneurs who are building their business, and particularly now having to do it more and more remotely, what are some of the lessons learned and some of the advice you give to entrepreneurs?
Yeah, you know, if you were not convinced that remote work was the future and that there would be a time period where the majority of the country was working remotely or that your business needed to be set up that way in order to differentiate itself. Well, I hope you're convinced now because COVID has forced everybody, this pandemic has forced most, you know, white collar businesses at least, and businesses that don't have a retail front or require you to be in person to engage or consume the product, like at a restaurant. Everything else is remote. And everyone's had to figure out how do you deliver products or services to your customers and still survive. And so if you haven't pivoted yet, you better have figured that out and learned from companies that have figured that out. And so, you know, there are tools that you can leverage, right? Online tools you can leverage, networking opportunities you can leverage, marketing channels that you may not have been leveraging before, but now you need to leverage now. And also getting your brand out there. One thing I like remind entrepreneurs is no one cares about you. No one knows you exist. This is not a just build it and people will come mentality. You need to let people know, everybody and everyone you know, you need to let them know and know again and know again and remind them that you exist, because you want to be top of mind the moment they have a problem that they know you can solve and that you know you can solve. You want to be top of mind. And so you got to get your message out there that's really clear and unique and explains very succinctly what you do. And you have to repeat that constantly for people. And so, you know, we're in front of customers. One of the early things that we did early on in Reconciled is we started using email marketing, and mainly because most accounting firms weren't emailing. And so weren't using email marketing or emailing of any kind, really. So we knew we would differentiate ourselves in the accounting industry in that way. You know, when's the last time you got a email message from a new accounting firm that wanted to do business with you? Probably never. So we're all used to the types of emails we get on spam or junk, like we get developers from India, or we're sold, you know, health products by email, but we rarely get one from accounting. And we realized quickly, like, that entrepreneurs, the big pain point was accounting. And for them to get an email from a source that they could trust and to see that we're a real legitimate company, it started working and resonating. But now we're using other tools like LinkedIn and doing podcasts like this or doing webinars online that also are getting our brand out there. So really leveraging technology and getting your name out there and not relying on this if I build it, people will come mentality or a foot traffic mentality, which unfortunately is what majority of companies in the U.S. were still relying on in order to grow their business.
Yeah. And I guess it just forces you to be more innovative and to use all those tools. But we all know they work now, and they end up being more cost effective than the traditional means we used to use. So it makes perfect sense. And just on a personal level, because obviously you were born in Tempe, Arizona. I think you moved to Seattle, then you ended up here. How did you get to Burlington? What was the reason you ended up in all the way across country on the border, essentially on the border of Canada?
Yeah, my wife is from Vermont. She was born and raised. She is generations, her family have been living here, and she's actually a dual citizen. So her father's side was all born and raised in Quebec, Canada. So she shares dual citizenship to the U.S. and to Canada. But she grew up in a small little town. It's the last town before you get to the border crossing to go to Montreal. And so my experience with Vermont was really from her. When I met her in Arizona, she was studying in Arizona, I met her through some mutual friends, and my first question was, what's Vermont? Is that a city in New England? And that's what people in the Southwest, you know, they don't really know a lot of these New England states or towns. And so she introduced me to Vermont, and I've fallen in love with it. It's beautiful here. I tell people it's one of the most beautiful places I've ever lived. And we lived in Seattle right after we got married. We left Arizona, moved to Seattle for 4 to 5 years, and spent some time there kind of in the beginning of our marriage. But after we started having kids, we really wanted to have some family around. And so hence our move to Vermont. And now we're raising 3 children here in Burlington. And it's been amazing to be here because as an entrepreneur, I'm a big fish in a small pond. And anybody with any sense of ambition and hard work, I think, can really make a mark and contribute to the entrepreneurial community here. And if I was in a bigger city like New York City or San Francisco or Boston, I think the challenges of getting known and of connecting would be a lot harder because of how many people are there vying for the same attention. So, you know, wanted to be thankful and continue to be thankful for where I am and what I'm able to accomplish here in Burlington.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. And you know, and I came from New York City, so same kind of experience. And I love the aspect that Burlington has this vibe of a real entrepreneurial city, and you feel like you can start anything up, but you have to be smart about how you do it and mm-hmm. how you're going to scale, like you said, and have opportunities outside of this one market. I think it's super cool what you're doing. And I love on the other side of your business, or just on the other side of your passion, you're actually coaching and speaking to businesses, helping entrepreneurs scale their business, build them remotely. How has that gone? What are some of the things that you like the most about that and some of the experiences that you've had?
Yes. So, you know, a few years into building Reconciled, I started having entrepreneurs who either were considering us for accounting services, but also other accounting firm owners, IT firm owners, marketing firm owners, any kind of services companies. They started reaching out to me, asking for advice and asking for almost mentoring, informal mentoring. And then I realized, wow, there is an opportunity for me to actually mentor men and women who were in the stage I was at the beginning of Reconciled, in that early thinking stage and launch stage, that I could offer coaching and mentoring services. So I started doing that, and really behind the scenes, not letting my sales team at Reconciled know I was doing it, and started doing that and letting Reconciled benefit from it. And that just gave us more exposure. And then I realized, wow, after launching Humanly and Sazzable, that there would be more and more people interested in my story and background and my life experience. And not only were seeking me as a coach, but also a formal mentor. So I started doing more formally, launched a more personal brand at michaellee.co. And so I have entrepreneurs mainly in the service area who want to launch a service company or some kind of online distributed company. They reach out, as well as speaking opportunities. I've spoken to audiences in the accounting industry. I've spoken to audiences at diversity conferences where they're talking about diversity in leadership in business, or how to increase diversity in your company. Spoken on remote work and how to build a remote work business, and how to, you know, launch and scale a company that's completely distributed like Reconciled and all my other companies are. So that's been a lot of fun. And so I'm always looking for the right interesting opportunities where my background and my experience can be leveraged to help other people and to speak into audiences that maybe that I normally wouldn't get access to just by running these companies.
Yeah, I think it's great. And it's so nice to see people who've had success like you that want to share and give back. And that's kind of the spirit of being an entrepreneur, is helping. You don't see people as competition. You see them as, you know, growing your network, helping more people do what you did. And it's great to see you doing it. And just for our listeners, let's run down all the sites, because you got so many businesses. It's super cool. So, and I know some of them are not spelled as easily as everyone would like. And of course, we'll have the links in the episode notes, but it's getreconciled.co, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes.
And then michaellee.com, but it's spelled michaellee is ly.co, right?
Correct, correct.
And then Humanly is a little bit different. How do you spell it?
Humnly. So it's just no A. There's no A in there. So humanly.com.
It's an easy one to get the .com on when you drop the A, I guess, right?
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. And Sassable is Sassable, Sassable.com also?
Correct. Correct. Yeah.
Very cool. I love what you do. And so now, for people who just want to learn more from you, follow what you're up to, see what kind of content you're putting out there, is michaellee.co, is that the best place for people to follow you?
Yes, they can go to michaellee.co. They can find me on LinkedIn or Twitter. Just look up my name. I'm usually the first one that pops up for most people. So feel free to reach out, follow, connect. I'm happy to connect with any of your audience and talk more. But yeah, I love entrepreneurship. I love working with small business owners. And again, we provide a suite of services through the companies I'm a part of to help really any small business owner with back office support, HR support. If you're in the recurring revenue space, whether it's a SaaS company or other metrics tool to help you track those. And then hopefully we'll launch later this year a way for you to get matched to lenders and bankers and investors that lend, invest in the recurring revenue metric space. So that's, we'd love to connect with anybody that's on your audience.
Super cool. I love everything you're doing. I think you provide so much value to companies. So my last thing for you, for any entrepreneurs out there in the Burlington, Vermont market, or just Vermont overall, trying to build their business, you gave us a ton of advice throughout the interview, but best lesson you learned over the years, some experience you could share, what would you tell a startup entrepreneur in the city here?
Yeah, I would say that networking needs to become a regular part of your rhythm, and get out there and let everybody possible know what you're doing. Don't hide your idea. Don't be scared about somebody stealing your idea. That doesn't exist anymore. Ideas are a dime a dozen. It's all about execution. So whatever idea you have, go and share it. And really, really talk to the potential end customer that you want to sell to. Learn, understand their problem, be ready to pivot or change your idea if the way you're solving it is not correct, or if the problem you've defined is not the actual problem. But get out there and talk to as many people as possible. Don't worry about people stealing your idea, and sell that idea until you can make money on it.
Awesome advice. I love it. And it's true. There's lots of great ideas out there, but it's all in the execution. And you got to get out and talk about it. And you can't be afraid of people stealing your ideas. So very cool. Thank you, man. You're really, like, literally in this city, in Burlington, Vermont, you're one of the more impressive entrepreneurs. You're doing so much. Super cool to have you on the show. Thank you for being here.
Great. Thank you so much, Sean.
And to all of our listeners, thank you for being here every week. As you know, we have a new episode that comes out every Tuesday. So wherever you're listening, be sure to subscribe. Leave us comments. We'd love to hear from you guys. And until our next episode, happy learning. Hey, everyone. John Toda here. I want to thank you for tuning into the show each week. We love our Learning Life community and are so grateful for your support. We'd appreciate it if you would take a minute to rate us and write a review for Learning Life wherever you're listening right now. Your ratings and comments help new people find the show so we can keep growing our community and bringing great interviews on the topics you care most about.